go to church. Let me give you a few introductory remarks before we explore that and give some answers from your perspective and from your experience, perhaps, from the Word of God that you know. And we'll add some scripture or give some tonight as the discussion goes on. But I don't want to just preach this or teach it. I want you to do that. And we've all heard at some point as kids a response to, when we're kids, I'm amazed at how many times a kid can ask why. Why? Got grandkids, it's a new season when you got grandkids. And why? And I get it when finally you say, because I said so. If you've exhausted all the don't ration with a three-year-old. It's just so fruitless. Now, I'm not saying entirely, help them there, but I'm just saying you can't go deep and all that. But sometimes when we're growing up, a valid answer needed more than a because I said so. And when somebody says, why should I go to church? To just say, because God said so, or I said so, or Pastor Ronnie said so, that's not adequate. We need to know what's a good reason. That's the discussion tonight. Reasons we should come to church. Some people in our generation have so disconnected from local church, and they've got the idea, and they may say it in words sort of like this. Well, I can worship God out under a tree all by myself. How many believe that to be true? I do. I believe I can do that. Is that what my practice of worship needs to, I need to be able to worship God, mowing the grass, doing whatever. It's true we can be worshiping God wherever we are, but we should not ignore the truth that the local assembly, local bodies of believers, church is God's idea. I was curious as preparing for these words tonight, how many times the word church, ecclesia, called out once, the word church is used in the New Testament. If you look it up through the New King James Version, the word church is used about 73 times in the New Testament. I know that doesn't really so much matter to many in here, but the significance of it that I was personally curious about, how many times does that word church refer to the church universal? In other words, every born-again believer all across the world. And how many times is it talking about the local church? Church of the Open Door is one local church in this city. I'm thankful for great local churches in this region. We are part of the church, capital C, Church Universal. Does that make sense to everybody here? We understand that theologically. We're part of the, but biblically then, out of those 73 times, from what I could, in a quick survey, just personally, it appears that out of the 73 times, there's about 13 times that it's talking about the church universal, and about 60 times that it's talking about local churches. Let me give you an application real quickly before we open the discussion. Thank God that we're part of God's church universal, but we each should be in our assigned places in God's church locally as well. You say, why are you preaching this on Sunday night? We're obviously here. I know, I get it, but you guys are the ones that are going to be able to answer questions from other people that you work with or that maybe that love Jesus. There are so many people in Waco, Texas, and in this region who, if you ask them, they would indicate, I love Jesus. I've given my heart and life to Him. Where do you go to church? Well, nowhere. When I asked somebody recently, and I haven't found one since I've been here. Well, how long have you been here? 4 years. You're not looking. I didn't tell them that. But you know what I wanted to say. You're not looking very hard. Or you're way too picky. I don't know which, but there's some places. Listen. But here, much of the New Testament was addressed originally to specific local churches. Most in here know that. The church at Corinth. 1 and 2 Corinthians was written there. The churches of Galatia, the church of Thessalonians. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there are seven local churches that those seven letters are written to by Jesus, penned by John the Revelator. And So God, as local church is ordained by God, and do we all agree on that thus far? Local church is ordained by God. Then he must have had some specific reasons why believers should be part of one, a local assembly. Why should we go? And I've got two mic runners up here. Young men, they can get to where you are. I want you to raise your hand and say, why should... You need to help us answer that question. And I want you to be able to jot notes tonight as though you were taking notes from a sermon. It's fine. And fill in the blanks. If that's going to help somebody else. And so we'll go. Bob, you got it.
I guess I'll go ahead and kick it off. Well, let's see. You got do not forsake the assembly of the church. You got the one in Ecclesiastes that says we're... a threefold cord cannot be quickly broken. I mean, obviously, I don't know if that applies to the church, but it does apply to
it. Can.
Okay, and then what was the other one that was on my mind? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And I think just the way the world is today, you know, this is like the only true time that we and the girls can come together and all sit down and be together and be part of a family. And then the Bible talks about being above reproach. And I think sometimes when you're out there at your jobs and you're dealing with the stress of life, it's very easy to get back to that, you know, I guess you would say being below reproach. And so it's just a good place, man, for me to get my family in here and just learn and be around solid Christians.
Amen.
And just have that accountability, you know what I mean? I think we really need that. I need that.
That's good.
You know, so... I just love having a family and knowing that there's a place where, you know, I can be myself. And I can also see men who, and women who have walked through things. And,
yes.
And I can go to them specifically. And then there's no barriers, you know, at this family that you can go to anyone you need to and talk about issues you're having, no matter how humiliating they are. And that's very comforting, especially when you humble yourself and realize, you know, you need help.
That's so beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, Bob. I believe that's some good words, don't you? Thank you. That was encouraging words. Let me put something on the screen that will tie into just one piece of what you did. Number two, Mary is to worship God with spiritual family. And I'll give you just one other reference because I like what you're saying. Do you understand? Now, I have a motorcycle that gets really good gas mileage, but I cannot run that thing indefinitely without dropping into the corner store or Murphy or some gas station because you run out of gas. I'm telling you, I think what you're saying, Bob, is this is part of my filling up time. It's part of my tanking up. I'm going to get encouraged. I'm going to get spiritual family. Look at what Acts 2 verse 42 says, just one reference here, because we are not created to be spiritual hermits. Your personality may be great with sitting on a mountain and never talking to anybody. But generally, we're not called to be spiritual hermits. Can I hear one amen right there? And somebody may say, well, I can get all the TV I need on church and I can pull up my phone. I get it. You probably get better preaching on the TV and on your phone than you get right here. But you can't get better hugs than you can get on that TV from people that come up and say, are you okay? Spiritual family. That's a value that we need to have. This is what it says in the early church, Acts chapter 2. They spent their time learning from the apostles, and they were like family to each other. They also broke bread and prayed together. With spiritual family, we celebrate life. We celebrate marriage. We celebrate communion. We celebrate baptisms, and we walk through grief with people and funerals. Listen, whoever your favorite TV preacher is, if you have a death in your family and you need to call that person in New York or Washington or wherever your favorite speaker is from and say, I need you to come to a funeral for me, I'm telling you, it probably won't work out that well. I'm not saying that in a rude way. Spiritual family is different. It means we partner together with stuff. And amen. Some of you are new in spiritual family. You're new in your spiritual journey. Please, I want to see you be able to plug in. I want us to just be able to embrace you properly in this journey. Somebody else, somebody have it over here? Lynn? Oh, no. You got Abigail, or you're talkative
fighting
tonight? what?
Okay, so I came to the Lord late as an adult, and when I came to the Lord, I fell in love with him, and I just wanted to learn more about him, and I didn't go to church for a year because I was watching Christian TV, and I got some out of that, but the show I was born again at was only an hour long, and I got grew out of that. I wanted more. So I began to visit churches, and if they talked to me, I wouldn't go back to that church. I'd go to another church because I thought Christians were want to steal Jesus from me and steal all my money. I didn't quite get it. I didn't understand Christianity. I wasn't raised in the Bible. I didn't know about churches. There's so many denominations. I had no clue. So it was a very confusing time for me. But what happened is finally after a year, a lady that was born again, I met her, she talked with me, she invited me to her church, and that was history. But I found that when I'm around people that want to talk about Jesus, that's who I want to hang with. If I'm hungry for enchiladas and I'm around people that know of a favorite Mexican restaurant, I want to talk about that too. So I want to hang around those people. The things that are on your heart is the things you want to be around. You want to learn more about it. You want to be encouraged about it. You get flurries. You get goosebumps about the things that you're interested in. So I know a lot of people are interested in sports, and that's all they talk about. And they go to all the games, and they cheer, raise their hands. They act a fool. Well, I do that in church.
Good word of encouragement. Thank you. Who's got it? Abigail, your son don't even let her talk. But I got a letter. She raised it.
Well, I grew up in a family that always went to church. And when I was younger, I never understood why people really like to go to church till I got older. And I learned that, well, when you go to church, you get to learn more about God, worship, get to meet people who understand situations you've been through and kind of understand you and can give you spiritual advice when you need it. And, like, you learn that the people are basically like your family. And it's really good to go to church so you can honor God, and that way you can also grow as a spiritual person and learn to love Jesus and God more.
Yeah, you got that. Woo!
Wow.
That's a good word. You did good. Yeah, I think I can go home now. I figured out how I'm going to need to be here. Amen. Somebody else. Go on, sit, Miss Carrie. She's close to you, Daniel. Well, we're waiting on that, Patrick. Getting the mic turned on or some semblance thereof.
I was going to say, I could talk plenty loud without it, but that's okay. You know, you mentioned something earlier. I can get all I need on TV or whatever, and it might not be TV. I can get a lot of spiritual education on my own.
That's true.
One of the things that has occurred to me recently, though, is I can't minister to somebody else at home.
Thank you.
Like I can here.
Yes.
I can't give somebody a
yes.
smile and a hug that might really be desperate for one of those, and not they may have questions that I can answer, and I'm not going to be able to answer those if I'm sitting in my recliner.
That's right. That is so key, and it ties in with what Bob said, too. See, if we become so consumer-minded that it's all about us, there was a Christian song out that came out a long time ago. We're just fat, fat, fat little babies. And blah, blah, blah. I don't know, it's a really cute song. I have no idea how it goes now. But if we are just consumers, then we so plump we can't get up out of the seat and go take care of it with people. I'm talking about if all we are is taking it in. Let me give you a reference. This is number 3, Mary. And you may want to jot that down. It ties in with what two of these said. One of the reasons we go to church is to encourage others and to receive encouragement from others. Receive encouragement ourselves. And Hebrews 10:24, you quoted part of that, Bob. Hebrews 10:24, let us think, say it with me. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works in verse 25. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. One of your reasons of being here tonight is to encourage somebody else. You can sit and say, you know, I didn't get nothing out of what Pastor Ronnie said in that message. I didn't like the way, none of the songs the worship team did just move me. But you know what? You're supposed to be coming here so you can encourage somebody. Now, we got a few minutes in that meet and greeting time at the beginning of church. Those are intentional times. I very seldom say it, but I want you Sunday night folks, y'all are privy to information that Sunday morning people don't even know yet. I'm just telling you, I say that tongue in cheek. But the truth is, where was I going before I took all those rabbits down that trail? Oh, my goodness. That few minutes of greeting time is really intentional. There are people who may not have had a positive, loving touch or an affirming word all week long. And you, even on a Sunday night, and they come in here, and somebody to say, I'm so glad to see you here. How has your week been? How are you going? How can I pray with you? Whatever the exchange of this, don't just necessarily go past and high-five somebody and move on. I mean, it's not that those are inappropriate, but I'm telling you, sometimes you come with maybe a scripture that God has put in your heart. And here's somebody that needs to hear that scripture that God's burning in your heart on Saturday evening, just in your own time with the Lord. I'm saying there's a way we come with the intent of encouraging each other and of receiving encouragement ourselves. That's an okay thing. A good reason to go to church. Can I hear one amen to that? Sister Beverly, I think, back there.
Okay, well, pretty much everyone said what was on my heart, but, you know, iron sharpens iron. And I, like Carrie said, it's so encouraging. You know, you can have a bad week. Our ushers and our greeters are chosen people with a heart to greet people at the door. And it's so important because, like Pastor said, you don't know what that person has gone through just to get here. And
yep,
Paul said something a little bit ago. He said, this is like an emergency room.
That's right.
People come in here wounded, and they need to be encouraged, and they need to be hugged and loved on.
Yes.
And healed and delivered. And this is what we do here. And I just love it, you know, coming here. This is, Paul and I were talking about this yesterday. This is my happy place. I come in here to serve and hug people and love on people. And it's so awesome because most of the people I talk to do the same thing. They come in here to encourage me and hug me and love on me as well.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Our motive, you come ready to be an encourager. You say, well, man, I drug through some problems this week. You wanna be lifted up is go lift somebody else up. And Proverbs, I think, or Ecclesiastes, where it says, he that waters will himself be watered. We're pouring out some encouragement, watering somebody else. Was there somebody that's got the mic on this side too? Who's got, where are we at?
Well, one thing that I like to go to church is it kind of keeps me in line in a way, because if I'm at my home and I'm just watching some guy on YouTube and I'm like, wow, this is cool, I'm getting a lot from this. If I do that for months and months and months, I could be missing God for the whole time, because God's here in the church. And obviously, yeah, he's at my home, but he moves here, you know? And I don't want to, you know, if you don't go to church, you can miss him sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another reason I like to go to church is, you know, it's a lot of things is if I'm at home, if I stay there a long time, I might get some crazy theological ideas, you know? Like, you know,
that's right. Good, you know, cults are worked up at home, yeah. I'm pretty sure, sometimes. But go ahead.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I might be thinking, hey, did Jesus look like a hippopotamus? You know, and I go take that to pastor, and pastor's, no, Daniel, you're crazy. You know, so, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, it's good to stay here so you can get proper teaching.
That's good, Daniel. Thank you. And Daniel, I have permission to tell Daniel if he's crazy or not when he gives me that. He's not. He's a man of God. I appreciate that. Cody.
You know, kind of springboarding off of what Daniel was saying, spiritual giftings, the gifts of the Spirit that is talked about in 1 Corinthians, it's hard to have those things in effect when you're at home by yourself.
Thank you.
It's hard to get a prophetic word from a preacher on TV whenever you've been praying about something. And one thing I love about Sunday nights and Sunday mornings too, but it just seems like the Spirit of God is so free to be able to do what he needs to do. And you might have been praying about something, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, hey,
feel like God is wanting me to tell you this, and it may be right what you need. Yes. But like what Daniel said, you know what, if I'm just watching a preacher on YouTube or something, I don't think he's going to come up to me and say, listen, God told me to tell you this. Uh-huh. So the spiritual giftings are not going to be effective if you're by yourself.
That is so powerful and so true. Let me pull that up on the screen. Number four, Mary, if you put that up. One of the reasons we go to church is to operate in spiritual gifts and receive the benefits of others' gifts. Let me give you a scriptural validation for that, but so you're not thinking we're just thinking this stuff up and as a way to get people to come and fill this room. No. And I encourage you to watch good biblical preaching on TV or internet or listen to good podcasts, garden what you feed on. But those, that's sort of like vitamins. You can't live on vitamins. You got to eat actually food, you know. But you can supplement things. So add that. But the spiritual gifting part, let me, 1 Corinthians 2 passages of scripture. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 6. Good work, God works, see it with me. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. Verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. There's the process. I want to encourage in this church that God stir. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, stir up the gift of God that's in you. The gift that specifically said, the gift that's on you by the laying on of my hands. Why I'm not seeing, this isn't scolding, it's encouraging to you. I'm not seeing an utterance in tongues that is supposed to be interpreted, followed by interpretation. I haven't seen that in way too long right here. Prophetic words and the protocol that we have, if God's given you a thus says the Lord in a service, is you come up to one of the steps here to the front, and Pastor Kim usually, maybe myself, will come down and basically you share what you feel God's given or the starting of that. And if it's a now thing, that we release you to give that in the church. Maybe it's a sense of a word that it's not for right now, but hang on to it. So gifts of the Holy Spirit, discerning of spirits, working of miracles, gifts of healing, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. God may give those to you as we're in this place. And as Cody said, it's to benefit the body of believers. It's not so we can just simply have a cut program that we have 58 minutes of the whole church time so you can get out and beat the Baptist to Luby's or something. We're just going to, whoever goes over there, I don't know. And it's so we can hear God, give forth, and be responsive to Him. The other passage that validates this as well is James chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Are there any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise you up or make you well. What's the verse 16, Mary, if you can get over to James 5:16. New King James is fine. Actually, that's the reference I would prefer, if you can find that. James 5:16, the next verse in that passage. Confess your trespasses to one another. He didn't say call a prayer line and just somebody that doesn't know you and you can say it. But the context here is spiritual family. Is that right? In James 5, he said call the elders of the church. Not the church universal. The church that you're part of. The church that you're worshiping in. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So that's a different level of healing than the physical healing referred to in the prior verse. All right, somebody else had something over here. Lisa.
Okay, every time I think about something like this, it's because it's a safe place. Anytime I invite somebody to church or even talk about the things of God, especially with people who aren't believers, it's encouraging to others to think that they can walk into a house of God and be with people who are not perfect. There's so many people that have heart flaws or heart holes that they don't know how to fill them. And so being someone who came from that kind of background, it's easy for me to say, look, this is what my life was, and it was a big mess, and it's probably not absolutely perfect right now, but I know a God. And that God is somebody that you can meet also, because I'm not special, and He will do for you what He's done for me.
Right.
And so that really works because everybody needs something, and when they can't find that something,
yes,
we have a place to take them to.
Yes. Yes, a spiritual safe place. And you know what's so refreshing? Thank you for that. It's when people come and they see your smile or they see your care for them. They see you care. If people walk in this building and they don't have a sense that we care for them, we're falling way short, because it's often in that caring that their hearts are becoming more open. This is a safe place. And it may be a process. It may not be that they've come this morning, now I'm going to give my heart and life to Christ, I'm going to go absolutely forward. It may be a longer journey than that. But as you keep creating this safe place where the truth of God is going forth, where an opportunity is there for people to grow, to commit their lives to the Lord, let Jesus fill them and all that, it's very encouraging. Lisa.
I just had a P.S. on that, because even though I've gone to this church a very long time, it does take time to build relationships, and I'm grateful for the relationships that I have here. I also am grateful for big brothers and big sisters. And the reason I say that is just today I came in late. And I was running, but there was a reason that I was late. But I was encouraged, because as I came through the door, my brother Cody Ochoa stops me and he says, "Hey, is everything okay?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Okay," because I was watching you in the parking lot, because there was something that I guess kind of made him iffy. And I was like, "Yeah, everything's okay." But that to me is special, because if somebody cares enough about you that they're going to stop and not rush in here because service has already started to keep an eye to make sure that I'm okay, that's a big plus.
Woo, yeah, I don't know about you, but that touches my heart, because we're going to be a safe place like that. If somebody chasing you, Lisa, we're fixing to take care of business. Or Cody, go ahead and holler it out.
You know, a lot of times we get to hang out, and you'll get to know people so much more by hanging out for 15 minutes and just talking a little bit. And that's on Sunday morning, and I think Sunday nights, Wednesday nights too. But just hang out a little bit. Most of us can spare an extra 15 minutes to take a little bit of time to get to know somebody. Because if you run in and you run out, you know what? Nobody's ever going to get to know you, and you're never going to get to know anybody, and you won't feel as connected as I feel like God wants you to be.
Very true. So absolutely true. I've watched people that have come here for maybe a year. But if they come in right after church starts and they leave right before church ends, and they're not involved in any of the smaller like classes or groups, and they can just disappear, and they feel like I have nobody there that cares. And because we've not been able to connect, what Cody said is absolutely true. Thank you for doing that. Now, church, let me challenge you. People come here. And a lot of times if people are going to a new church, they're not trying to walk in late. They're trying to get here early. So that kind of means y'all need to sort of like get here early too and sort of talk to people. Don't hang out with your homies when you come. Just say, "Hey, I'm comfortable with this one. I'm going to go." No, look around the room. Somebody here that I don't know, go sit down beside them. Give them your name. Get their name. Ask them about stuff. You know, encourage. Amen. Thank you, Cody, for giving me a chance to get on that too. Sister Audrey, you got something? Or somebody else got another mic they're holding back. Oh, right here. I'm sorry. And who's next after that? You can stay back there, Daniel, with Johnny, because he's going to say something too. Let's go, Sister Audrey. Scared her.
I was going to say, the main reason I come is because God deserves much more praise than I can give him alone.
Good.
And the other thing is, obedience is better than sacrifice, and the word says to assemble yourselves together.
True.
And I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. What else was it?
That's good.
I guess that was it.
Well, we amen you. I believe those are good reasons to show up to the house of God. Brother Johnny on the back.
One of the reasons I come out with you to go to church is because I just love to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's such a presence in this church that when I'm here, it just seems like nothing else matters. And if you ever had told me that I'd be sitting here like this or doing stuff that I do here or feeling the way I do, I would have told somebody, "You must be crazy." But I've learned so much, and
yes.
I'm thankful to have a pastor that I can understand. You really know how to say the word, but yet put a little bit of fun into it to where
thank you.
I can understand it. I've been to several churches. I raised my grandson in a Catholic church, but there was never really the warmth that I feel here. And when I'm praying with the food pantry people, boy, that's another thing that God has really done, because at first I said, I ain't doing that. Uh-huh. I'll take the buggies out, but I'm not praying. Uh-huh. And now I love it. And God is the one who has put the words in my mouth, not me.
Yes.
I come to give him praise, and man, everybody here is so friendly and so warm that it's just a very comfortable place. That's Amen. Why I come to church.
Thank you, Johnny. Good word. And when you come to give out, much of what you do is coming and giving out. There's somebody else got the mic on this side. Where are we at? She thought of the third thing.
The other thing was, you'll find your shepherd. And when you find your shepherd, you'll find that just like you, Pastor, so often after I've prayed to the Lord, you confirm what the Lord has said to be true in my life.
It's good.
You find your shepherd and your plan.
Praise the Lord. Let me tag in with this, that God assigns people to church. There is a false notion. Well, let me just go there. There's a false notion in our stinking American independence that they used to put this in the on the religion page of the Waco Tribune years ago, and it would say, worship at the church of your choice. That sounds very nice, but it's totally unbiblical. Don't worship at the church of your choice. Worship at the church of God's choice. The family that you're supposed to be, your kids were born generally, unless they're adopted in, they're born in your family. You know, we're there. There's an assignment of God. And when I know that the assignment of God, we're yielding to that, God did not call me to pastor in general. He called me to pastor Church of the Open Door. You can get mad and leave. I can't get mad and leave. God's assigned me here. I'm not saying that in a whiny way. I'm just saying that, you know, you say, I don't like what he preached, so I'm going to stay home. Well, I can say, I don't like what I preached. I think I'll stay home next Sunday. Wish I'd have done that differently. But going to the family of God's assignment. So, again, I'm okay with folks searching around because, you know, sometimes you're going to try out some different areas. Where do you want me? And then find where he wants you and settle down, dig down there. Amen. Serve, be part of that team. If it's biblical, the name over the church is not so important, but what's taught inside that church is very important. And it has to line up with this book, has to preach salvation and the righteousness of God and the Word of God, and don't settle for anything less just because it's tradition or it's Mom and Them's church, as the old timer used to say. And just because it's that, don't be locked into that, but you find the place of God's assignment. And if it's here, welcome home. Glad you're here. The others that God is bringing as well. I'm sorry, somebody had a mic, didn't you? But Sylvester, head over there. Somebody got one already. Somebody over here in the middle section, the right side has been a little bit quiet, but Sylvester, I'm glad to hear from you. And then Clifford, I think, is going to say something.
Well, being one of the guys from the house, you know, sometimes I can get in that van and I really be like tired and be mad, like, man, we got to go to church. But when I get here, you know, Mr. Paul, who done took me in like a son, and I always going to be there to ask me how I'm doing, and Mr. Jeff always at the class, and he reminded me, hey, I work hard too.
That's
encouraging. And then the love that I get here, Miss Audrey, going to always come and shake my hand and call me by my name.
Yes.
You know, she don't just shake my hand. She called me by my name with a smile, and I got run. And so many of y'all that come, I ain't never been on that side to shake hands. I said it from the first time when Ms. Pastor Kim said, go shake hands. It's like my feet had cement. And I watch y'all come from the other side, And I come, I mean, even when I feel like not coming, when you get here, the love make you glad that you're here, man. And I appreciate the family that's here.
Well said, Sylvester. Thank you for that. And the honesty of that and the transparency. But thank you for doing that. Listen, it is important. Jeff's one of the volunteer teachers out there. Who else is doing that right now? It's in the church. Ron is a volunteer teacher out there. You're building relationships. You're investing in these men and partnering together in this at this level. That's so huge. I'm telling you, when we get it in our mind that everybody matters, not just the people that walk through the door. Everybody you see matters. They matter to God. They ought to matter to us. But as we're bringing this together, how valuable that is. Thank you. Clifford.
I share with some people that's in transition. When I share with them, biggest thing I tell them, I'm able to share my trials, my struggles. I said, if I wasn't going to church, I wouldn't be in this position, able to teach or anything. It's not the first try. I do also express to them to start praying now to get connected with the church. Because I go through struggles. I mean, people tell me, they know when I miss church at work. So,
live full. Clifford goes to the prison in a huge unit in Gatesville and really oversees the men's side of that. You just don't know everything that everybody's involved in here. But I want God to connect people to ministry serving areas. You say, well, I don't think I'm advanced enough. We'll start where we are, and we'll work with you and walk you through some other transitional things. Thank you. Becky, go ahead.
Yes, I felt like I needed to share this. I was raised in church all the time. I was here. You know, I was in church when the doors were open. I was in the church when the doors were not open. And the thing about it is, I love church. If my parents stayed home, I went to church because I love church. I love God's presence. I love being in church. I just flat love it. And that's the way it was until about 2016. And God began to work some changes in my family. We went through a period of sickness, and I had to step down from the very thing I loved the most, was ministering in God's house. And I had to rethink, you know, everything about my life, because that was my life. That's just what I did. I went to church, and I loved it. And so, you know, I came to a period where I'd have to make a decision, okay, is everyone well enough to where I can go to church? And so I went through a period of just condemnation, and then I had to get over that. And then I went through a period of about a year when I wasn't expected to be here. And I would wake up on Sunday morning, and I would have to find a reason to get out of bed, to go to church. I would analyze, is everybody okay? Are they going to be okay? And then I would think, man, I'm so tired. Why do I want to go to church? And I can't, it all boils down to the fact that it pleases God. It's obedience. It's a sacrifice, like Audra said. That sacrifice, that obedience pleases God. And so I would come, and half the time I'm late because I'm having to get things at home settled to where I can be here, and it's a fight. But I want to be here because it's obedience. And when I walk through the doors, I feel His pleasure. And the fight is worth it. The fight is worth it. And I just had a scripture. It's Psalms 116. Verses 17, 18, and 19, I've got the Amplified. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, yes, in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you. O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it boils down to the fact of it pleases God. Amen.
Amen. What a good word. And You really don't know the sacrifices that some folks had to walk in here and the journey of preparation and making things where they can. Somebody else, we're winding it down, but I want if you've got that word, to encourage somebody else. Who else had it there? Beth?
I just can't pass this up, but, you know, when you work for the church, and everybody thinks that's the dream job, you know, but it's working. And I love it, don't get me wrong, but I love even more when I come into the house of the Lord when everybody else comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something that just excites me. I mean, I love what I do, and I'm not taking anything away from that, but when I come in the corporate body, and there are people here for the same reason that I'm here, and that's raising my hands to the Lord and inviting Him to come in and do whatever He wants to do. That is exciting to me more than anything else. Whether I came in to kneel and be before the Lord at a private time, or whether I come in to work in the office, all of that is valuable. But that's let me tell you, it's nothing like when y'all all come in together.
Amen. That's good. That's good. To worship the King. And Jeff back there, whether Freddie's closer or he's coming.
Well, for me, to begin with, you know, it's the relationship, like what's been said. If I want to grow in my relationship with my wife, I have to spend the time with her. I have to have date night or, you know, whatever the time is. Same way with Jesus, you know, to spend time with Him and to come here. As time went on, I began to learn and develop that it wasn't about me. You know, my relationship with Jesus is important, but when you're at church, then I learn what's going on with the pastor. I learn what's going on with Lisa. I learn what's going on with Lynn. I learn what's going on with the guys at the house.
Yes.
And then I'm able to give them a word of encouragement.
That's right.
And I'm able to receive a word of encouragement.
Uh-huh.
And when I see, you know, the guys at the house, when I see them respond and they got something out of what was taught, you know, it encourages me. It makes
That's
me
right.
want to do more of it.
Uh-huh.
And to give God the glory because He's the one doing it through me.
Yes.
You see, this is how Jesus lives through us.
Yes.
Is by filling us, and this is where I come to get filled.
Amen. Isn't that good? That's a good word. That's a good, good word. Let me give you one other thing. Number five, Mary, is we need a place to bring those to whom we witness. If you are, how many have been in at least some of the classes on Sunday morning, the joy of sharing Jesus? Can I see your hands in here? If you missed that 9:45 class, you've got a few more of those. You'll come this coming Sunday. Be equipped to share Jesus with others. There is an importance of, if I'm sharing Jesus, I need a place to bring them to grow. I don't want it to just be all on me. I want it's us to do this together, help and partner with others. Let me give you one quick example from the Word of God in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 is where Saul of Tarsus had been converted, had come to Christ, and he goes back to the church in Jerusalem. Now, Saul had been a chief persecutor of the church or Christians because he was a strict Pharisee, Jewish, and hated Christians and was putting them to death. He was basically like an ISIS fighter, you could say. And so when he comes to Christ, and it's really for real, when he goes to the church in Jerusalem, they're saying, "Oh, no, we know about you. We've seen your picture at the post office." Not really, but they saw something. They knew he was there. And look at verse 26. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. Verse 27, then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus at Damascus. Do you see the power of somebody bringing a friend to church? of somebody with them, and some that they may see something of the Lord attractive in your life, but maybe they need another nudge, and somebody else another nudge, and another nudge that's going to help them be established in the Lord. If you don't have local church, well, you can come watch TV with me, my favorite preacher. I'm not against TV preachers. I just looked at Jensen Franklin last night. I love listening to the good word of God. So, but what I'm saying, I can't bring them to that same setting. Amen. Anybody else? Let me give you a couple of scriptures then. There's something about committing to the God-given place that he's chosen for you. 2 Samuel 7, verse 10. 2 Samuel 7, verse 10. God said, "Moreover, I appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will," what? "I'll plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously." Obviously, that was planting in the nation of Israel. But Psalms 1, verse 3, "They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season." That's what our lives should be. "Their leaves will never wither, and they'll prosper in all they do." One other passage, Psalms 92, verse 12, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Those who are, y'all with me? Those who are what? "Planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age." Hallelujah. Yes. I'm going to be a fruitful old ager right now. "They shall be fresh and flourishing." That's the promise of God to those who are planted in the house of God. Not just here, I'll go here, I'll do this. I just encourage you to be planted. And anyway, did I leave anything out? I thank you so much for your input and insights tonight. Abigail, you laid something out really well earlier. And let me give you one other reference. It's number one, Mary. It's to receive training and instruction, because you said that. I'm going to come and listen. I'm going to receive instruction from others. And Ephesians 4, verse 11 mandates us to do that. Becky, if you'll slip to the keyboard. Ephesians 4, 11 says, "Now there, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ." And that's both universally and locally. But to receive that, when Prophet Carey or an evangelist, Scott Hinkle, or somebody else comes, or a pastor, teachers that come, we're receiving equipping. We're receiving equipping. And I want to stay open to keep growing. How about you? I don't want to get stuck where I am. I've been walking with Jesus a long time, and he's still got a long way to go with me. So I'm not, Bill, I take encouragement tonight. Still bear fruit in old age. Be flourishing. Yes. Would you stand up with us tonight? Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I appreciate you being here on a Sunday evening. Can we take about 3 or 4 more minutes and worship God? And I want some prayer partners to just find your way up here. Maybe you came on this Sunday night and you said, "I have a need. And I need somebody to agree with me and take that, as we take that need to the Lord." And as people come, let them pray. And you just be in an agreement, and maybe you have a word of God to give to them too. If you're here tonight and you said, church has just been a kind of a nice part of my life, but I've never given my heart and life to Jesus. Tonight is your night to begin this journey with the Lord. Otherwise, I'm telling you, the thing that will make church be so irrelevant, boring, a hate-to-be place, is when you don't meet the author of the church, Jesus. Because if it's just a religious ritual that you're going through, I don't want that. I don't want anybody coming to open door that's, it's just a religious ritual. I want us to have a relationship, and out of that relationship with him, we have brothers and sisters and God doing some good things. Go ahead and worship. Help us worship. You can worship right where you're standing, but if you want to... slip up here.